11:15, our time in WWIB on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Mabel Louise comes in, and you're here on a cold morning, Mabel Louise. Wow.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Way to go for it.
Isn't it something? Brr. Baby, it's cold outside. Oh, that's okay. We've had quite a cold snap, I should say, at least in Chippewa Valley. I don't know what it's like where you are, but if you dress in layers, then that helps, doesn't it? I can remember right here in Chippewa, in the valley here, that we had 50s and 60s, and it was not uncommon to have 40 below. So we just got to get tougher, right? Okay. Oh, well, I guess we need to say this too shall pass. And I understand from Pat that it is going to pass and we're going to have better temps coming up. So just hang in there and be thankful that you were able to get up this morning. What a blessing. You know, it's so easy to take that for granted, isn't it? Well, stay tuned and let me visit with you on an interesting subject. I'm in the midst of a little tiny series of messages concerning the topic of time or times. And this is, of course, found in the Word of God. The Strong Concordance, or even the Crudence, both the same, showed approximately, can you imagine, 700 verses in the Bible that include the name, the word time or times. And so I thought, this is something unusual. I'm going to pick out some of the titles and bring some messages in. Oh, it's been such a blessing and really fits right in to the days in which we are living. So I've already covered high time and latter time. And now today I want to talk to you about the fullness of time. All of these statements are so interesting. And I hope that you'll find that it's a blessing to you today. Had to do some digging. Oh, I don't know what I'd do without the concordances and without the books that tell what it was like in Bible times. And this statement that in the fullness of time is found over in the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Let me read it to you. I have my Bible open in front of me, and I'm going to read the King James first. There are only a few verses. And then I'll slip right over to the New International, which is a little bit different, but sheds light on the portion of Scripture. So here's the King James. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." If that doesn't give you a praise and hallelujah, I don't know what would. Pray, aren't you glad that God sent his son to die for us, to redeem us? And he goes on to say, "And because you are sons," meaning direct, generic, woman, child, whatever, that it knows Jesus, "God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Abba meaning daddy. Isn't that a beautiful portion? I was thrilled when I began to do the digging for this message. Now, here's the New International. What I am saying that is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son of God. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Oh, what a thrill. Just think, when you know Jesus as your Savior, you become an heir of heaven. Wow. Does that give you goose pimples? It does me. Oh, we have so much to look forward to and so much hope in Jesus. I don't know what people do without him. It's so wonderful to be able to trust him and to know that he has paid the price for each one of us. Well, I've covered high time, latter time, now today, in the fullness of time. and we have just come through a Christmas season, and actually, this verse is often used as part of the Christmas story. But today, I want to use it in relation to God's timing. The words fullness of time means at just the exact predestined moment. Think about it. Just at that right moment, God foreordained, he planned it all, and the birth took place exactly on schedule. Isn't that precious? I was particularly blessed as I studied the three verses preceding this verse in the fullness of time. And I read that to you, and it's wonderful. And I want to explain what Paul is trying to say to us. And this is where I had fun going through books that told life in Jesus' day. And we have to learn about the Roman customs of the day when Paul was living. And here's what I learned. In a Roman home, the servants had charge of the different possessions of the master. And of course, if you had a large amount of land and lots of children and lots of plowing and cultivating and all of those things, cattle, and they had to have a lot of slaves to help them. And what was so interesting was that the servants would have charge of different parts of the household. Some would have charge of the cattle or the livestock, and some kept records for the master, like bookkeeping, and others had charge of the children. And when a little child was born in the home, the servants cared for him. They dressed him. And you know what? They dressed him in clothes just like the slave children. He didn't look any different from the children of the servants. And he would be playing with them all day long. In other words, even though he was the child of the master, and he would be heir of everything one day, he still had to obey the servants just like the other children did. And I noticed when I read of the King James, it called it under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the father. So, well, it was the time when the father recognized that his son was capable of making decisions on his own, and then he would consider him as a full-grown son. It was actually the father's decision to know and decide when maturity would be in the child's life. And isn't it interesting? It was the father that would make this final decision. And when the father made the decision, you guess what they did? They had a big feast, a big ceremony included, and they would honor the son, and he would be announced as full grown. And after this, no servant could be able to instruct him. I thought that was so interesting, and that's what Paul is talking about in chapter 4, verse 1 through 4 in the book of Galatians. And the children of Israel, of course, were under so many rules and regulations by the Roman government. You remember Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's." Yes. So, aren't you glad that the Lord is in charge of time, that we can trust him in all of those different terms that he used? 2 Peter 3:8-9 tells us, "Be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Wow. The truth is that the Lord is never in a hurry, and sometimes we wish he was, don't we? He's always on time. We can count on that one. A perfect example of that was brought to my mind by the Holy Spirit, and that is Genesis chapter 22 tells that story. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to the scriptures, but let me just tell you the story, okay? Well, the Lord told Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. Well, Abraham obeyed, and he took a three-day journey along with his son and the materials to make a fire. Abraham obeyed the Lord's instructions, for he believed that the Lord would resurrect Isaac and make him live again. So he proceeded to place Isaac on the prepared wood. He took out a knife to strike Isaac, and whoops, the angel of the Lord called out from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham, lay not your hand on the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your only son from me." So Abraham looked, and right behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went over, took the ram, offered up a burnt offering instead of his son, Isaac. Wow, that's what you call in the fullness of time, or just in the nick of time, maybe, or just at the right time. I've got to close the broadcast with this illustration out of my own life. How many times in your life, and of course in mine, we've experienced seemingly perfect timing, and we've given credit to the Lord by saying, "Thank you, Jesus." Well, at my age, I've thanked the Lord over and over for an empty parking place, which was close to my destination, or maybe a car just pulled out and I could drive right in, and I'd say, "Thank you, Lord." Or we have been in the right place at the right time. Let me just leave this with you. I recall at a time when I was in a hardware store. I had broken the lid to my casserole dish, and guests were coming for dinner, and I rushed over to get the lid. And as I was standing there to ready to pick up the lid and go to check out, I heard someone cry. So I walked around the other side of the aisle in the store, and there was the clerk, and she was just sobbing. I put my arms around her, and I said, "Let me help you. I believe the Lord sent me just at the right time." And she whispered and said, "My husband is very ill and is dying of cancer." So I put my arms around her, as I told you, and the Lord, and I whispered in her ear, "Jesus loves you, and he wants to be your comfort and your help." And then I asked her if she knew Jesus as her Savior. She said, "No, I don't." And I said, "Well, would you like to?" "Oh," she said, "I don't know how. Can you show me?" So I asked her quickly if there was some place we could go and talk, and she took me in the back of the storage room, and we sat down on a box. I pulled out my little New Testament and letter to Jesus. In my book, that was God's timing. Yep, that was his arrangement. I was there just at the right time. All of us have experienced times when we've given credit to our precious Jesus, not only in protecting us, but blessing us. So we need to be reminded that Jesus left his place in heaven at God's right hand, came to earth at the fullness of time, or just at the right time. He was stretched also, not only to come to earth, but also to die on the cross. He conquered death, left the tomb, walked again among men, and ascended to heaven just at the right time. And one of these days, and oh, doesn't this give us hope? Someday, he'll return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Think about it. He came from heaven to earth to die for you and me, making salvation available through his death on the cross. Praise God. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Aren't you glad? I am. Think about it. Bless you all day. Bye-bye.